This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Now we're good. Yeah, so we're holding here by middle of Kass.
I'm
sorry? There was some question, I don't know who asked, who answered. There was some question from last time, or we'll go by that.
I think Matisyahu asked the question.
Right. So I don't know if we should address it, not address it, right? Whatever, your call.
Is it a long answer or a short answer?
Well, it really depends. I think we need the shoel, so I think we'll go by that. It's partially.
Okay.
We didn't know exactly what the problem was. Okay. Well, Perek Dal Nedarim. Omer Shmuel Achmeni Amar Bechna, Kol HaKoyes Kol Mene Pur Onya Shlagenim Sholtim Bo. Shenema V'Hoser Kas Melibcha V'Ave Ro Mipsarecha. Ki HaYaldus V'Shachos Hevel V'Hevel V'Ein Ro Ela Gehenim. So, the Pasuk says if you take Kas off your heart, you will not have Ro and on your Basar. So Ra is Gehenna. Shnema Kol Poel Hashem L'Maneo V'Gam Roshan L'Yoyim Ra. Upir says. So basically Chazal is saying that a person who is Kois invites Gehenna on himself. Upir says. Ki Mishu Bal Chema Hu Inyan Gehenna. Ki Ha Gehenna L'Toke V'Godol Kocho Mesiach Zal Koch Eish. So Gehenna is seen as Eish because of the power and the magnitude of its force. That's why Eish is always used as a description of Henim. Umipneisha Adam Yeshal Nefesh Ruchni, Kashu Kois, Vyotze Minaseda, Kolmine Gehenim Sholtenboy. Ka Gehenim Gankin Yotze Miseda Oilam. Lekach Kolmine Gehenim Sholten Bemisho Kois, or Kach Ksiv, Vehave Romi Psarecha. Now let's just see one more line. So basically, the morale says that the reason why one affects the other is kas is something that is yotze min haseder, and gehenim is yotze min haseder, and because Kas is a more ruchnistika type of reaction, so too Gehenim is also ruchni and it's also shalapai. That's basically what everyone else says. Well, let's try to understand it, what it means more specifically. The morale in many places describes Gehenim as being heder, which means absence of existence. In the big picture, if we ask ourselves what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Havaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is existence. So the primary, anything that is brings life, blossoms, with things that we see as being positive, those are all things that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as such, because they're from the name Havaya. Those things that dissolve existence, those things that sort of negate existence, are things that are the hefech of it, and they're the things that really stand the hefech to to existence, to the world, to Toiv, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all, I forgot who says the Lashon, that if somebody who's, I don't know if it's Maimin, or he's Dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has a positive view of existence, of life, of things. People that negate Emuna are nihilistic. They sort of they relish non-existence, destruction, etc. So if we talk about Gehenim as being the mockery for the people that are not shayach to this world, because this world is a world of Seder, of Chiyus, of Mitzius, of Havaya. That is this world. A description of something that's the antithesis of this world would be the hepech of it, would be non-existence, negation, a heder. The Gehenim is the place for people that have lost their place. So to speak, it is the non-place. And that's why it's nimshal to fire, because fire is a type of thing that sort of, in our senses, turns existence into non-existence. A person has a big, big, like the mashal that Rashi brings in the beginning of Aisha. A guy has a huge pile of hay, and he says, wow, look how much place this takes up. Somebody puts a little match to it, and the hay becomes nothingness. Fire for us is the thing that most represents turning something into nothing. And therefore, Gehenim is the place where Eisha Sholet Bo. Gehenim is the place where that which is absorbed ceases to be anymore. Now, everyone understands, the Rambam, when the Rambam seems to say in Mora that there's only one punishment, that's Karis in either or, what it means is the nature of the punishment is non-existence. The nature of all types of Einish is to not be. That can be in different madrigas. Let's give a fairly simple example. A person can be homeless on the street. Nobody cares for him, that it's cold, raining, that he's hungry, that he's starved. As far as the world is concerned, he doesn't exist. That's one madriga. But a person can have a home and be taken care of with food, medicine, but everyone ignores him. And that's also, I can be very frustrated and say, I feel as if I don't exist. Nobody looks at me. Nobody cares. That's also a type of non-existence, and it's something which is sort of a chisar in existence. And there are madregas in it. Gehenim is not an either-or proposition. It's a sense of void. And just like a person who has many good things in his life, but he's missing somebody. Rahman Atzal is always an oval, and he feels a void. He has this, but there's a big hole where this should have been. And the sense of non-existence, the sense of void, is really what Gehenim is. It's very interesting. People who have very difficult depressions, the clinical depressions, the sensation they describe very frequently about what they feel like there's a big void in them. So Gehenim is anti-existence, and it is seen as a void, almost like a black hole for physical matter. That's what it's seen as. A kohes is someone who is frustrated.
A quick question.
Sure.
The oinesh will reconnect the person to existence. A person goes to Gehenim, he will get existence again somehow through that, or lav dafka?
We understand that for most everybody, Gehenim is a tikkun, so it's quite simple. Imagine a person didn't treat his wife properly, did not treat his parents properly, and then he sort of he then has to feel the void of them. That maybe makes him appreciate them. So there's a certain sense of a person feels, there are many people. Not many, but there are people who've rebelled against Shmiras Mitzvahs. They grew up being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and they rebelled against it. And then they come back, and a lot of times their sense is it's empty out there, and there's nothing. A life where Shabbos is the same as Sunday, and Yom Tov is the same as a weekday, and there's no teichin, are things that for most people are sort of a the sense of void makes them appreciate what they had. I remember I once read many years ago, since I was a young boy yet, somebody wrote an article. They were having they had neighbors who were not from, and the neighbors' kids would come visit them and would play with their kids. And at some point, the neighbors forbade their kids to play with their kids. And the frum lady was a little bit upset, insulted, or just didn't understand. And she asked, "No, I noticed you don't have kids." So she was very apologetic, and she said, "Listen, we're very open-minded, and we want to have many, many options open for our children. You're giving your children something very definitive and so on, which, you know, it's your right, but we want to give them nothing so that they can choose as whatever it is." And this from woman echoed back to her, "So you're telling me you're giving your children nothing? Is that really what you're telling me?" When a person lives without a sense of things, then he may be able to appreciate when he has it. It's true in many ways. So Gehenim, by allowing you to sense the voids that you've created, allows you to appreciate when you get it back. So in that sense, it's a tikkun. So when a person is kois, what happens is a person is in a certain framework, and he's unhappy about it. He feels constricted, and he bursts out of it. You know, you're sort of smashing your way out of the metzias as it is. So b'meila, that is sort of a parallel to that header. You're taking yourself out. The world is frustrating, upsetting, and you're sort of smashing your way out of the world. So there's a parallel to it. If you leave the world, this is where you go from existence to non-existence. That's sort of the Nekudah is saying over here. Okay, next. Amar Rabbi Avuna, Kol HaKoyes Apo L'Shechina Nechashu V'Kinegde Shenema Rosha B'Goyva Apoi. A Rosha, when his temper is at its height, Bal Yidroish Eino L'Kim Kol Mizim Moisev Rabbi Yom Difti Amar Af Meshakeh Talmud Moisev Tipshus Shenema Ki Kas B'Chei Ksilim Yanuach O'Ksil O'Ksil Yifo Shibelas Reb Nachman Omer B'Yadu HaShavanesa Merub Mesri Yosef Shenema Ish Yigre Modoin or Balchem Rav Pesha. So again, we have a string of Mamarim telling us different points about it. So now we'll explain. Umash Omer Kashchina in Hashuva Kinegdi V'Dovzek Moshe Yisbayat Ki Kasha Odom Koyes Hu Yoytzim Naseda Roy V'Kol Kach Yoytzim Naseda Ad She'ein Hashchina Nechshav Etzloi Mitzad Goydol Hashinui Ki Ha'odom Hu Mesuda Mashem Yisbayat Shu Iloloi Kasha Koyes Yoytzim Naseda. So he says when a person is chayte, a person is kois. Let's again put ourselves. Let's use our imagination for that rare case where maybe we were upset once. The emotion goes as follows: I'm trying to do something. Whether it's something in learning, whether it's something in business, whether it's something in community, whatever it is. And things are not letting it happen. The person didn't come through with a promise, this guy's late, the thing didn't, you know, the papers were messed up, v'chulu. Typical stuff. Now, there's a sense of frustration that I have to work within a framework that's constricting, that's hampering me from realizing myself, and the act of anger is a smashing out of it. So you think that you're not going, that your sluggishness is going to stop me? I will let you have it. You think I care about your no? I will smack you one, and so on. The mechanism of rage is I have a certain self. That self tries to realize itself and to come out, and something is hemming it in. I am cognizant of the fact that I'm within a certain prison. I am under the control of something else, and chaos is the attempt to break away from that control. It's sort of to explode away out of it. Ultimately, the acceptance is, I mean, ultimately, we understand everything comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the restraints and the rubric within which we work is put there by Kodesh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, I have tremendous cheshek to rebel against Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is what comes out. So b'meila, the rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that which is within me. So I may not say it as such, but basically I would really like to, if I am a Maimon, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm upset with most. And that's why, you know, and that's what it's called, Yoytzim and Aseda Roy. Ultimately, a person needs to believe that the framework that was put in place is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's framework, and it's the appropriate framework. And whether my job was to have accomplished or to have tried to accomplish, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a very tough one. It's like there's, you have in when you work out, there are exercises of lifting weights where the matara is to lift up a weight a certain distance, or to do a push-up, or whatever it is. And then there are exercises called isometric, where you push against the wall, and you hope the wall doesn't move. The tachlis is not to move the wall. The tachlis is to flex your muscles. But an outsider who never seen exercises looks at it, he's kind of amazed. Okay, this guy makes sense. He's moving the barbell up and down, and he's doing something. This guy, what is he doing? He's pushing against the wall. Does he really think the wall is going to collapse? And he's doing it day after day. The wall still stands in one place. But you don't know what the tachlis was. But on a practical level, it's a very, very tough one. It's a very tough balancing act. Because a person whose approach is fatalistic tends to be also very apathetic. Yeah, well, we do what we can do, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, it'll happen anyway, and if he won't want it, it won't happen. And it doesn't bring out the best in a person. I once heard somebody say a Sheva Brachas drasha. I would have really stood up and said, I think it's Apikarsis and Kfira, but that's not in my style. The person was a super frum person. It's a stroll, and the person at somebody's Sheva Brachas got up and said the following. He said, it says that Adam Marish, he says, you're just starting your new life, and you want, I would like to give you some advice from the Torah about your new life and how to start life and so on. He said, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Adam Marish when he created him and took him around to all the trees in Gan Eden, and he told him, look at what kind of beautiful world I have. 10 day to chosh like the calculus elami. Make sure you don't ruin my world. So this person said, the lesson we learn from here is our job is only not to spoil things. Don't try to accomplish things because you may end up spoiling them. It's a big yitzhahara to try and want to accomplish things, sit in your place and don't try to accomplish anything. That was the person's drasha, and it was, I think the person himself felt he was a super frum person. He certainly looked that way. And That's sort of borderline fear. But what is true is the other side of it. A person needs to do things in a way that is with all the energy and drive of someone undertaking something, feeling that he's the only one who can make it happen. And yet, when it doesn't happen, or if it's not allowed to happen, let's say there's an issur along the way. The person has gone 85 miles, and at the 86th mile, there's an issur that can't be crossed. The person needs to say, okay, this is Ratzon Hashem, and that's all. And I need to, at this point, I need to stop. I need to make a U-turn. That's a very, very tough act, because emotionally, we either push at the issur and say, oh, you know, it's so hush of what I'm doing, it's so important, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it so badly that I will smash through the problem, or the person's whole life is kind of a sheval taisa. Yeah, a little this, a little that, it's okay, you know, no drive, no push to do things. Very, very tough. To paraphrase, I think it was Ben Gurion who said, we will fight the English like there's no Nazis and fight the Nazis like there's no English. You know, a person needs to do in a way that seems as if it may not be mealy, and a person needs to accept the results of it. In other words, you need both of them. A kayas is someone that there's a seder, he bucks at the very seder. I'm trying to establish a yeshiva. I'm trying to do this big chesed. I'm trying to be makar of these people. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds us with certain restrictions, limitations, and so on, and that's the seder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. When I buck that, then I'm yotzim naseder. And even Rukacham,
yes? Would you say the kohes makes himself into the ilah?
Correct. If I accept that there's an ilah, then I'm a priori limited. For instance, let's say a person tries to run at a certain speed and it's not going. So he feels he needs to train more. He needs better coaching on how to do it and so on. Let's say the doctor examines his muscles and tells him, your muscles are too short to be able to run so quickly. The maximum this type of muscle run is X. So once, if I have that in place, then I know it can't be. The only way I can say I don't accept limitations if I think it's up to me. So the person, in a certain sense, doesn't recognize if my avoda is supposed to be from... I'm just the result of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then I have a certain structure that's surrounding me and limiting me. This is a very famous word from Rabbi Sol Salanter. I've mentioned of ton nicht oifton. Person needs to do and not accomplish. In other words, if you focus always at the accomplishment, then it will sometimes force you to do things that you should not have done. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. And all the big affairs like that, the Deitz Adas, the Nachash didn't come and tell him you're going to have a great time. He asked Adam Arishon, Rev Adam, what's your goal in life? And Adam told him to be like God. That's what I'm here for. And he said, well, I've got the perfect thing there for you, and that's the Deitz Adas. And so Adam was caught between the goal, which is to be like Elohim, or to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and accept certain limitations. Adam doesn't accept limitations very easily. Same thing was true with Shaul and David. The Shaul, you know, the wanted to bring Karbanis and so on. He told David, the end results are what's important. And David said no. And Shmuel told him no. Shmuel, Hashem. The importance is to listen. So other messages if I cash a course and say, Okahama Fashin and Hoshev connected. Keena Maki losses box rates when I say it. Vizesha Oma Gamkin Shemashacheach Talmud. Kemoisha is by Lamila. Kiachochma who I saw a story, Stam. I should. It's something that worth repeating. I saw it recently, well, a few weeks ago, actually. The person who put out the Rambams, the famous Rambams, the Frankel Rambams, was a Chasam Talmud Chacham. He was a well-to-do man. He unfortunately did not have any biological children, and he decided that he would like to perpetuate himself by his name by putting out those Rambams. And he knew what he was doing. He hired a staff of 30 some odd big Talmid Chachamim. They gathered in Kisvei Yadus from all over the world, the Rambam, the Farshim. You know, everyone knows those red Rambams, Frank Rambams, really wonderful. And he was a big collector of Sfarim and spent a lot of money. And one day he brought in a rare sefer that he bought for tons of money, and very fragile. And he opened it up, and they were looking at it, him and some of the people there. And one of the people was so excited to take a look at it, he leaned over with his mug of coffee. Boom, the coffee spilled over it and turned it into mush. And the person writing the story says he never lost himself. He said, okay, that's that. That's only possible if a person says, imagine if a Kadosh Baruch Hu were to tell me, you are to go and, you know, when we learn the VM, we always feel, well, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu told us to do this and this, we never have a problem with it. It's very possible. That's why that's not our Nisayan. But we have to look at those things in life. This is the way it was supposed to have been. I did what I could. I did what I should. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was very interesting. My Rav in America, the person that I looked to for Das Torah and guidance, was somebody named Reb Zelig Epstein Zechariah Livracha. Reb Zelig was a huge Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud Mover of Yeruchim. He was a Yeshiva Torah Das for many years. His son, and he was sort of the Nasi of Shara Torah, and he was seen as the wisest man in America by many, many people, and the person that people sought his counsel. He was, just as a caveat, a half a step to the left of the typical yeshiva world, but many miles ahead in terms of depth and das and breath and many, many good things. I used to go in every so often. He was very makaribus because my wife's grandfather, he was very close to Blaise Udalin, was sort of, he felt like he was sort of a son of Blaise Udalin. He was very, very warm to us. But we once came to visit him, my wife and myself, and he had just had heart surgery, so it was hard for him to talk, so he sat and listened. His wife asked my wife, how's the yeshiva doing? My wife said, Hashem, it's nice, and his rabbi said, everything needs mazel, and everything needs mazel. My wife said, needs siyata d'shmaya. And then I saw he strained. He didn't like the conversation. He said, the main thing is to do what you're supposed to do. In other words, he always, I mean, one of the things in when you asked him, when somebody tried to make the ends justify the means, it's so important for this, that, or the other thing, that you sort of, in a cavalier way, overstep bounds, whether it's another person's rights or mitzvahs or whatever it is. That was something that by him was a very, very sharp issue, and he felt that that was the root of a lot of problems, when people allow themselves to do things in the Shem Shemayim. So the point is that doing the right thing is right, and it's ultimately in emuna, it's accepting this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Okay, v'zeh shama gam ken shemeshakech talmudoi kemo shesvayah lemaylo ki hachochma hu seida hasichli o mitzad sheyoytze min haseida lefikach so min haseichl. So the clash of kas and chochma is this clash. Chochma is something which perforce places boundaries on a person. This is this, this is this, this is this, this is this. And a person who's frustrated, and a person that doesn't live that way, then he cuts corners misthinking. he's it's not rigid, the thinking, it's not logical. There's some, I mean, he doesn't, he can't have a Seder imposed on himself, so he acts by going outside of the Seder. Chet is wherever a person is outside of the rhythm of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set for him, it's trouble everywhere. In other words, every single there's a progression here of Tosefos, and he says, So the first thing is a disconnect from the Shechina. So in other words, normally I always need to plug into the Shechina. Normally I need to sort of, I can't stray because everything has to come from the Shechina. So the first thing is I detach myself from that. I sort of pull the plug out of the socket. That's first thing. Secondly, he says, the next thing is, just like if I would pull the plug out of the computer from the wall, the computer goes blank. If I'm not bound by anything, then I am not, then I don't have real chachma. I want to sort of parenthetically explain, that's the pasuk, gracious chachma yiras Hashem. The gracious of chachma, the shorish of chachma lies in yira, because yiras Hashem means this is the given that I accept as given. Now, every chachma requires a set of postulates, and if the postulates are not true, the chachma could be brilliant, it will be false. So just like when in geometry they've questioned the postulate about parallel lines, and it affects everything in the wake of it, all theorems that have been built on it are going to be questionable. So the Yiras Hashem means the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absoluteness, of the fact that he's the ultimate Metzias. And then I extend his Ratzon into different areas. Now look at that. And then he becomes a Balchet, means in the first two, the person hasn't done anything wrong yet, but he's removed the mechanism that keeps him in control. So the Shechina Zein HaChashuv Kenegdoi means he no longer accepts the authority of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chachmas is next to me means he has no more borders and no more guidelines as to what he will do or he won't do, because it's all, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the Shurish, then what is there to create those borders and those lines and so on? In other words, kaas, the world has a mahalach that is meant to be in some degree good. If you follow the natural order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in the Bria, then it should be going in a good place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Seder in the world, a structure in the world, and if you're within the structure, it's the teva to be good, to do good, to be good, and so on. And that's part of the normal halach of it. But when a person bucks that Seder, a person doesn't want to be bound by that Seder, doesn't feel bound by that Seder, then he goes out. And you get these three things that are So these three things remove the person completely from any sense of Taiven and so on. And you know, when he says Kashetov and Rugim Utvorim, he's usually referring to some sort of parallel in the world of Kabbalah. It's not so difficult, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, one is the first point, and then Chachm is the next point, and then finally the world of Meisim, so the third point. I mean, but it stands, it doesn't need it. He's just saying that, I want you to know that it has that Nekuda. But by and large, his point is, there's a Seder in the world, and that's a big theme of the Maral, that anything within its Seder goes right. And it's when you distort the Seder, break the Seder. There's a Gemara says, Shinui Veset Tchilas Cholim Ayim, that when a person changes his schedule in terms of food, etc., his order of the day, that's when you begin to get sick. And that's why it says, you know, Kol Yemei Ani Roim, that on Shabbos, an Ani overeats, and so he's never good at any day. But the point I'm trying to bring is, when things are within their natural rhythm, they tend to be good. And it itself has a certain level of shmirah to itself, because the Mahalchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Briyat Toiv, when things go out of their structure, out of their framework, that's when you open yourself up to all sorts of that. Okay, any questions? Okay, so good Shabbos.
Okay, good Shabbos, Rabbi Bielski.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah?
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.